Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Well, hello!
Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
There. I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rock.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that!
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongBuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hello, everyone.
Derek.
Hello.
And returning from a little break, Ben.
Hello.
Yeah, so we welcome Ben back to the podcast. Today we will be discussing various top five lists that we have made, 10 of them actually, and from anything from villains to fights to quotes, these all from Avatar The Last Airbender. And that's pretty much all we'll be discussing, because there hasn't really been any news between now and the last podcast. You may have noticed... let's first go. You can email us at dylan@dongbufang.net. That sends it to me, and if you want me to forward to any other co-hosts, you can tell me to and I will. Or you could send it to webmaster@dongbufang.net. That goes to Jake, Jeff, and me. And I guess the podcast email possibly works, but it's safer to send it to dylan@dongbufang.net. You may have noticed in our last podcast the addition of the Audible advertising. And I got the go-ahead from them after we recorded the last one, so that I didn't really have time. I really wasn't able to explain it during the podcast, so I guess I'll talk about it for a few seconds now. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I had the little thing in the beginning of the podcast and then something in the middle. And basically, we have a custom URL for you guys to go to do the free trial. And if you sign up for the free trial through our URL, that gives us money. So that's how it helps the podcast. And it is a free trial, and you do get one free audiobook download. The only caveat is you have to manually cancel the free trial after 15 days if you do want to cancel it. I mean, but if you continue, you'll go to their monthly rate or something. But yeah, so only one thing there. Other than that, it's pretty transparent. I just told you everything about it. And that's pretty much it about that. Like I said, no news. Hopefully we'll hear something about Korra soon. So basically what I did was I sent these 10 categories to the co-hosts, and I didn't really give them any restrictions. Only on a couple of these did I say two or three words about it. So you may see a lot of differences in our list that... So for instance, side characters, I didn't specify whether they had to be in one episode or whether Ty Lee could be considered a side character, even though she's in many episodes. So I think that was up to everyone to decide. So I guess it'll be interesting to see some of the differences. This first list, I think, has a lot of discrepancy, too. It is the top five villains of the series. So this could be anything from villains to one episode. I got into a discussion with Teresa, actually, when we were talking about this premise for this podcast, about whether Jet was a villain. And it's interesting to think about that. Is he even a villain in the episode he first appears in, and then he comes back, and he's probably not a villain then? So it's interesting to think about. I think there's a couple of ways we could do this. We could go through everyone's five, then four, then three, then two, then one. But let's try starting off with just each person's five to one first. Yeah, okay, let's try that for this one, and then if we'll see how it goes for the rest of them. Sam, why don't you start us off?
So five to one?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, Zuko. Yeah. Number 4, Longfang. Number 3, Zhao. Number 2, Sozin. And number 1, Azula.
Yes, that's interesting. Like, see you and Zuko on there.
I do.
Yes, I think he would be widely considered a villain during season 1. Maybe more of an anti-hero, but still. And then he turns good, so... But I assume it's because... Did you think he was one of your top villains because when he was a villain?
Yeah. Like, he was kind of, like, the first... Everything up to the storm, he was, like, a whiny little bratty evil kid. And, like, oh my god, I need to get my honor, I need to capture the Avatar, at all costs. You know, like, kidnap girls and do all that stuff. So, yeah, I think, like, up to the storm, anyway, he was, like, a villain.
Okay, and what about after that, did you think?
After that, he more like anti-hero territory, you know, like, struggling inside between good and evil. Except he's not really evil, he just wants his daddy to love him.
Did you include the anti-hero stuff as part of your consideration for him as a top villain?
Sort of, yeah. Like, that's why he's number 5 instead of 1.
Okay, yeah, and then so then you had Azula as 1.
Yes.
Need any explaining there? I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Completely.
Uh-huh. Where did you have Zhao?
Zhao is number 3.
Okay. You thought he was a good villain?
Obviously. Yeah, he was a very compelling villain.
Maybe not as, like, deep as a character?
No, like, really, like, he just wants power. Like, that's his only thing. Like, there's nothing about him besides that, really.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a pretty solid list. Derek?
Okay, so 5 is Zhao, then Dai Li, Combustion Man, Hama, and of course Azula.
Okay, so that's pretty interesting. Combustion Man, what did you like about Combustion Man?
The only reason I picked him was because I really like his power.
Uh-oh. Dog in the background. Okay, now keep going.
I just thought he looked cool, like, but I think that's, like, the only reason why he would made it on my list.
Yeah, I think he definitely, the coolness factor, I'd say, was pretty high with him. And you also had Hama. Why did you put Hama on there?
She was just so creepy, and I mean, the Puppet Master was one of my favorite episodes, so I just really liked how it wasn't, she wasn't, exactly a Fire Nation villain. She was more of a, you know, just a person wanting revenge, and her creepiness just made her go up in the list, so that's why I made her number 2.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid. I love Hama, too. I didn't think to put her on here. I might if I was going to revise it. That's pretty good. And Azula, number 1?
Yeah.
Pretty, yeah. I think most people, I don't think it needs defending. Most people would definitely agree with that. Okay. Yeah. Ben, your list.
Okay, number 5 is Hama. Number 4 is Longfang. 3 is Zhao. 2 is Ozai. And number 1 is Azula.
Okay, Ozai, why'd you include him?
Well, I include him because, I mean, he is the major villain of the series, I think. Most people would say that. The reason why Azula is number 1, though, is because we kind of learn more about her character and the reasons why she is the way she is. We didn't really get that with Ozai, because he's just kind of this evil person, but we don't really get into why he is that way, so to speak. That's why he's number 2. But because I do see him as the major villain of the series, he is that high on the list.
Okay, so he pretty much gets a pass up to there, even though we don't see him as much?
Yeah, and I kind of tossed around with having him a little lower, but like I said, he still is the major villain of the series in my eyes, so that's why he gets that high up. And even though we didn't really see him, we could see his presence, so to speak, throughout the entire show.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that part. Like, he's definitely felt, even while he's not there, and it's done in such a good way, not even showing his face for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that would lead it up there. I actually got some addition. I got a couple lists from Teresa, who was upset she couldn't be on this, but she sent to in, so I'll read her villains list. She had Longfang 5, Jet 4, Ozai 3, Sozin 2, and Azula 1. Jet, she says, I'm aware he's not really a villain once he returns, but he carries one of the darkest themes in Avatar. He's so blinded by his hatred of the Fire Nation, he's willing to kill a whole village just to cleanse it of what the little Fire Nation influence there may be.
That's scary.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah,
I just thought about that.
Yeah, I've gotten into this with Martin a lot. Like, he loves the episode Jet, and it's one I don't instantly consider to be good, and it's just the themes in Jet, especially early in season one when we get more of the kiddie stuff in the show, it's kind of powerful that that's there. And so I don't blame anyone for putting Jet on the top five list at all. Sozin, she says, if it wasn't for Sozin, the whole war wouldn't have started. He's cold enough to wipe out an entire nation. Worse than that, he left his oldest friend to die in a volcano. So I think that gets into what we mean by top villain. If it's by evilest people, I think Sozin might be number one, definitely.
Well, yeah, he kind of like caused a genocide.
Yeah, he's people. Genocide. That's kind of bad. Yeah.
Just maybe that qualifies for villain. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have a dictionary in front of me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For me, probably we don't see enough of him to get him on this list. But yeah, I also don't blame him for putting on there. And yeah, Azula again for her. So my list. What I have written down is Ozai 5, but I kind of want to put Hama now 5. I forgot about her a little bit. So let's just put them tied. And then 4, I have Longfang, 3, Zuko, 2, Azula, and then I have Zhao number 1.
So controversy.
I'm the only one that didn't put Azula 1, and it's just because I love Zhao so much. He's so amazingly, like, sinister. So he's the perfect villain for season 1, even though we don't see a lot of development from him. It's just his clashes with Zuko. He pretty much clashes with everyone. And he's almost kind of turned into like a meme for like the Avatar fandom. I don't know.
Buddha freak.
Yeah, he's just so amazing. And by the way, I was rewatching the last three episodes of season one yesterday. First of all, they're incredible, even 5 years later. And Zhao, when he's put into the water, he's thrown into like one of the canals. I thought he was thrown into the ocean before.
No.
He could have survived that. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised they didn't bring him back now.
Well, that's why Rufftoon made that comic.
Yeah, he's an Olympic swimmer, and I don't think any of you guys are old enough to get that reference. But yeah, Zhao, I don't know. I love him. Azula, obviously amazing. I don't know. I think a lot of us had Longfang like around the 4 spot. He's kind of Zhao-ish. But not as Zhao-y as Zhao. That made no sense.
He's voiced by Mr. Krabs, too.
He is voiced by Mr. Krabs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think I saw that on Tumblr, like, today or yesterday.
I will never look at that the same way anymore.
Like, that's all I could think when Longfang just Mr. Krabs.
Well, I mean, J. Jonah Jameson is going to be Tenzin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, interesting people voicing his tribute. And then Zuko 3. I think he's still... If we're going to go loosely by villain, I think he may even be a villain into season 2 with his decision at the end. He's just such his arc is so good. I've kind of thought about Zuko differently recently. And yeah, like I've kind of not been enthusiastic about his story before, but now I definitely embrace it. So yeah, I think that's definitely enough talk about villains. Definitely some amazing villains on the show. Hope that continues with, that guy in Korra. I always forget his name.
That was Amon.
Amon, yeah.
Kind of makes you wonder if Zhao might have some involvement now if he did survive.
That would be amazing. But, oh, by the way, I saw this theory that, Amon is one of, Aang Katara's sons that doesn't send.
I saw that too. I think that's amazing.
That would be an amazing thing to include. He's like jealous of his brother. He can't bend. He starts the revolution. That would be great.
I have a theory on that too, but I'll save it for a future podcast.
Okay, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't get into that as much. Okay, next one I want to do. This is one of my favorite ones on this list is top five scenes in the show. And this is, I mean, pretty wide variety we could see here. Scenes for humor, action, I don't know, anything. I'll start since we'll try to, like, snake it up, I guess. That's not a thing, snaking it up. We'll snake the order of this. I kind of cheated on a couple of these and had honorable mentions. That's probably not allowed. So my honorable mention was Aang and Toph talking in The Blind Bandit. And I've always loved this scene for some reason. I don't know why. It's just so, we like never see this side of Toph again. And it's The Blind Bandit, it's such an amazing episode. I think this scene is like the best part of the episode. When they're talking, it's before they get captured. I love that. Okay, five, I had Zuko and Azula fighting in 320, which was part three of the finale. Amazing scene, obviously. Not that much story, but, I mean, music, animation, crazy good production values on that scene, crazy. Four, I had the Spirit Oasis scene in season one finale with Iroh's epicness and Zhao killing the fish. I rewatched that yesterday. It's so good. Tempted to put Ko there, but this scene is just more amazing. Three, I had Aang and Katara kissing in at the very end of the show.
Oh, wow.
What a surprise.
I know. I mean, come on. It's three for me. You'll see in a minute. But some people said they didn't. We also have a list coming up on top five romantic moments, so some people didn't want to cross those, like have scenes in this and that. I didn't really consider that, but yeah, amazing scene. Hard for me to put that above the Spirit Oasis scene. I don't know. I might want to reverse those two. But yeah. I think that scene's also kind of more amazing for what comes before it. It in itself isn't really anything epic about it, I guess. But it's interesting. We'll also see that with the quotes for me. Two, I had Zuko confronting Ozai and Day of Black Sun Part 2. That's always been... Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah,
amazing scene for me, and it's kind of split up over multiple segments, but that's just written and done so well, and it's so, building up so long. And one, I have Azula shooting down Aang in the season 2 finale. That's not my favorite episode, but has always been my favorite like moment in the show. I thought that had elicited the strongest reaction from me, and just amazingly, I like the whole black and white thing. Amazing, I made it. It's so unexpected. And so well done. Yeah. Comments on that?
I think if I had to have an honorable mention on this list, the Azula shooting Aang in 220 would probably be my best OMG moment of the series. Because, I mean, you don't really see that coming in a lot of ways. And then when it happens, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, did that just happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said when I saw it. Yeah.
Very much a shock factor in a lot of ways, because, I mean, you don't really expect to see a main character almost die like that at this point in a series.
Yeah.
Especially the main character.
And he did die, but that's not made explicitly clear, but yeah, crazy.
Well, yes.
The difference is very slim, but yeah.
That's why we have plot devices.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's do Ben, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Number five is episode 219, when Toph uses metal bending for the first time. I really enjoy that scene, mainly because, I don't know, just the idea of metal bending itself was one of my favorite concepts to come out of the end of season two, and how much of an effect it had going into season three. Number four is episode 109, when the pirate ship was stolen, followed by Zuko's ship being stolen. Because it's one of my favorite comedic moments of the whole show. Because it's kind of like, ha-ha, your ship got stolen, and then, ha, we stole your ship. Hey!
Yeah, I definitely need to rewatch that episode. Haven't seen that in a while. But yeah, I definitely like including more comedic moments in this list. I don't know if I had any, so that's good. Okay, continue.
And quite appropriate, because number three is episode 317 with the sonic scream from Mantoff.
Ooh, I approve. We will see this later in one of my lists. I definitely agree with that.
Same on mine. Number two is actually episode 101 when Aang is released from the iceberg.
Interesting. I also recently rewatched 101 and 102.
It just, to me, it was a very interesting way to start the series to introduce us to the main character, and it always stuck in my mind throughout the whole show. Kind of like where we started and where we ended up, you know, as the seasons progressed.
Yeah, I buy that, definitely.
And for me, the number one scene is episode 321 when Aang uses energy bending on Ozai.
Ooh, okay, why?
Why? Well, it's such an that moment, more than anything, is the most epic dynamic of good versus evil throughout the entire show, because you see Ozai almost nearly corrupting Aang just because of how evil he is. But because Aang is so pure, his spirit is unbendable and he was able to overpower him. And I always love the dynamic of good versus evil in any story, and that moment was just the pinnacle of the entire series for that.
Okay, I'll buy that part. But I think that's done so well, but oh my god, I hate the concept.
I can see why people don't like the concept, but to me, the scene itself...
I can buy the scene itself and the good and evil thing. Okay. Oh my god, spirit bending. I need to comply with another rant about that at some point.
I actually wonder if we might see that expanded on in Korra for whatever reason.
Okay, that would help justify it some more.
It should be.
Well, it's one of those loose ends that we didn't really get much information on, so I really think that we might see something about it in the near future.
Yeah, that would definitely be good. Okay. Reactions to Ben's list? Yes, no?
No, I don't know. I can't really remember.
Was it really that uninteresting?
No, because I was like editing my own list.
Sam, you're supposed to do that before.
I did, but I kind of got torn between episodes and scenes.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. No, this is a tough one. You have to pick from every single scene in the show.
And I think this list was even tougher for me because I didn't want to, like, if I had in fights, I didn't want to include it in best scenes. If I had in romantic moments, I didn't want it in best scenes either.
Yeah,
so.
I had that too.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's good. You guys probably thought about that more than me. I kind of worked. Yeah, like I said, I worked on these separately, or said before the podcast. So yeah, I don't know. Scenes was probably one of the first ones I tried to do. Derek, I think? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so my number five is kind of a funny moment that always makes me laugh. It's in Bardo of the Water Tribe when it's at the end and Iroh, he put himself, was it under the one girl or on top? And then you hear Zuko say, "Uncle, I didn't see you get hit by the Shirshu," right? So that scene just always makes me laugh, and it's one of my favorites.
yeah, that was great.
My next one is when the Earth King says the Earth Kingdom has fallen. I picked that one because that's when I really realized that, oh wow, they actually lost compared to season one at the end where they won. So that's why I like that scene a lot. The next one I picked was when Mei and Ty Lee betray Azula. I didn't expect it. I expected Mei because she was already fighting so they can get off the island, but I didn't expect Ty Lee to jump in. I really didn't. It's just one of my favorite scenes too. I think I would also replace that one though with Zuko confronting Ozai, just because I forgot about that one. But yeah. And then the next one, of course, is the Zhao kills the moon spirit and Aang merges with the ocean spirit. Pretty epic moment. And then my first one, my favorite scene is Aang talking to Zuko, how he used to be friends with Kuzan and if they could ever be friends. I really like that one.
Mm. What episode was that in?
The Blue Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I buy that. Okay. And I like your number two, obviously. That's kind of... Mm-hmm. And your number four, I kind of include that with the whole end of the season two thing.
Yeah.
Almost kind of one scene. Goes by so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other comments? Sam?
I don't have any comments. So.
Okay.
I was paying attention. I just don't have any comments. Okay. No comment.
It's your turn now.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes.
Okay. So, number five, when Cookie, Iroh, as I so call him, and Zuko, an Ember Island players, are talking about hair, how it's gone too far. You know, I think that's funny. I had to pick out of, like, every single funny thing in Ember Island players, and I had to pick that.
Okay. Maybe we should just split up.
I thought that was great. What else? Number four, the fight between Zuko and Zhao in Sage of the North Part 2. Like, I really liked the colors in that scene a lot. Like, you know, it was, like, in black and white. And, yeah. You know, you had the fire going. It was great.
Epic fight, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Number three. The Oma and Shu sequence in Cave of Two Lovers. Again, very much for, like, the art style that they went into. Like, the watercolor sort of thing. Plus, it's a nice little Romeo and Juliet story. You know, earthbending and all that good stuff. Number two, the ending of the desert. You know, where, like, Aang is, like, all angry because, you know, they sold Appa. And Katara's calming him down. Mm-hmm. We always really like that one. And number one, Aang getting shot down by Azula. Mm. In Crossroads of Destiny.
Agree, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, I agree too. Because that is my favorite episode, number one.
I like the inclusion of the Oma and Shu scene. I agree. Yeah, I agree. That's really well done.
It is very well done. Yes. That's why I included it. It's be different.
It was different. Yeah, I kind of went too traditional on this, I guess. Well, yeah, no, I think we covered a lot of good scenes, and that kind of shows I forgot about a lot of these to include in, like, and there's so many, like, top five worthy scenes. It's great. Okay. Next one I have on here is side characters. Now, this one's really ambiguous, because top five side characters, what does that mean? Well, I guess we'll see. Let's start with Sam.
Okay. Number five, actress Katara from Ember Island Players. Do I have to explain?
You don't have to explain.
Okay. Number four, Longshot, who is part of the Freedom Fighters. You know, he doesn't talk except for that one time. It's all good. Number three. Foamy. The Foamy Mouth guy. Who lives on Kyoshi Island.
I think we all know who Foamy is.
Yes, you should know. Number two, Kyoshi, because she's bad. Whoops. She's a BA. She lived for like 270 years too, so.
Oh, give me a second to put the edit on.
Oh, jeez, gosh. Okay. And number one is Doc/Chu/Bushi.
Oh, wow.
From The Painted Lady. It was great.
Oh, that episode.
I love that. I actually wrote a fanfic from the perspective of Doc's hat.
I think I remember that, actually.
Wait, from the hat?
Yeah, from the perspective of the hat.
Gotta say, I completely forgot about him. Also, would not include him in my top five, but I guess it's okay, I guess.
It's good for me.
Good for you.
I always like them.
I have a feeling these are going to be more of a top five favorite characters.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I thought that was the point of the list.
No, it was. I mean, we've been over this in this podcast. The word top, what does that mean? Does it mean best? Does it mean favorite? I think a lot of times we say it's a combination of the two. So, yeah, to whatever you guys.
I think since we're doing our separate lists,
more,
it's like
more favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Derek.
All right, so number five, I picked Monk Gyatso. Just really liked his being a father figure towards Aang, and he was kind of funny. So that's why I picked him. The next one, I picked the professor from the Liberian Desert thing. I thought he was really funny. Next would be June. Every, like, little line that she says just makes me laugh. Just her saying, "Where's your creepy grandpa?" just makes me laugh. The next one is Roku. I really like him, seeing his background, seeing that he basically put everything on Aang. And then I didn't know if this was a side character, but I picked my number one was Ty Lee. So I didn't know if she was a side character, so.
Okay, no, it's totally whatever you think side character means. She's definitely not like one of the main five. So yeah.
Mm.
Probably not five. I don't know if I'm counting right. Okay, yeah. Nice. Ben.
Okay, number five is Avatar Roku. Number four is Paku. Three is The Boulder. Two is Piandao. And number one favorite side character, Bumi.
I like the Boulder inclusion. Definitely. Bumi's nice number one, too.
I didn't even think of them.
I just love the way how the Boulder always refers to himself in third person.
Very. Yeah.
The Boulder will beat you down, little child.
That episode is amazing. Yeah,
I like them bringing him back as a good guy, basically. Because he was kind of a bad guy in The Blind Baden, and then they brought him back for the invasion. He's a good guy now.
Yeah. They seem to be doing that a couple. They did that a couple times. Jet, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that again with the season one finale. Even then, they brought back characters and Waterbending Master, and then they go crazy with it in the invasion. Yeah. Okay. Side characters. I cheated again and had an honorable mention. Professor Zay. I kind of wanted to put him in my top five, but I like these top five. Five was Miyuki.
The cat that uses a stock meow, you put that.
Yes, that's my number five. My number four is Anji from The Headband.
There's
reason for her to be on this list. She does nothing, but she's on my list.
She almost messes up Katang.
No, she doesn't. She's awesome, though. Number three is Song. I've always loved Song in Cave of Two Lovers.
Yeah, she's sweet.
Yeah, that whole arc with Zuko, I totally buy that. Two, I have Old Sweepy. Kind of surprised he didn't show up in your guys' list. Old Sweepy has one line, and it's amazing. I knew I included Hama somewhere. Here's my number one's Hama. I love that episode. I agree totally with, and I probably should have put her on my villains list, but yeah, great, amazing character, great arc. Yeah, okay, so yeah, that was definitely personal favorites. Now we're gonna get more we'll see. Not on my list, we won't get more serious for top five quotes.
No, mine's not serious at all either.
I found this really hard, actually, because a lot of quotes are better, are in context only, are amazing. I had to try to find ones good out of context. Yeah. Okay. My number five quote. Yeah, I didn't really want to include it, but I had The Earth Kingdom Has Fallen on this. That's more. But the problem with it is that's more based on the context it's in. Yeah, but I still like it. Still, great way to end it. And the only serious, really serious thing The Earth King says. Number four, I have the Sonic Scream quote, Sonic Wave quote from Boulder, the actor Toph. I don't think I'll do it justice by saying it, so. I'm going to try to include the quote lodge in the beginning of the show that has it in it. Love AJ for including that in the quote lodge. Yeah, so.
Got a pretty good look at you.
Yeah, that was my favorite gag from that episode. That was just, like, so perfect. Okay, number three I have Iroh in season one finale. Whatever you do to that spirit, I'll unleash on you tenfold. I always like that. Iroh being amazing. Great scene. Like, that kind of coincides with that. And number two, for some reason this always came up in my mind as one of the best quotes in the series, is "You rise with the moon, I rise with the sun," from Zuko in part one of the season one finale. I don't know why, but kind of like an epic, like, standalone quote. Kind of good for, definitely good for this list.
Very threatening. Not really. I see why you put it on there, though. It's very.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very in your face, like, aha, the sun rose, no more moon.
That was more of like, I think 13-year-old Dylan liked that a lot, and that stuck with me. And can anyone guess what my number one's gonna be?
Baby, You're My Forever Girl.
Yes, that's my number one.
Oh, jeez.
That is the best single line of the series. No competition. Because it is This is also two most unexpected things in the show. The season two finale ending and this. And it was amazing. And I love that quote, and I'll forever love that quote, and it's genuinely hilarious.
And I love the lead up to it. It's like, all aboard for the invasion. And just that whole interaction between him and Katara in that dream sequence was hilarious.
It's great. And that's
that
why
should
I love
be
that,
in the
so.
Promise.
he needs to say that line every single time in The Promise. That would be amazing.
Like, in real life, he should say that.
He should. I bet he has to have told Katara about that at some point, that dream. I want to see their discussion about it. See Katara's reaction. Okay, Ben.
Okay, if you can cheat, so can I, because I have an honorable mention. My honorable mention for this is Zuko's speech at the end of 321. Right before he is crowned Fire Lord. Because I thought it was very... I feel it was very from the heart for him as to his desire to really repair the damage this war has done to the world. But into the top five. Number five is the cabbage merchant. My cabbages!
Oh, that's almost cheating, because he says it multiple times.
I know, but...
but, you know, who cares?
Yeah, still, okay.
Okay, number four is the opening sequence from episode 101 when Katara is speaking. The unique opening in 101 where she...
Okay, I didn't even think of that. Interesting.
Number three. Episode 320 with Toph saying, "That's a great idea. Let the blind girl steer the giant airship."
What and she several... was shot down by Sokka. Like, I'm not talking to you.
Oh. Number two is Iroh in episode 109. "Are you so busy fighting you cannot see your own ship has set sail? It's not time for one of your proverbs, uncle. It's not a proverb. Look!"
Overlap with your scenes there.
True, but, you know, that was one of the funniest ones to me.
I think that's pretty good, too.
And number one is Mantoff's Sonic Scream.
Definitely just the whole, solid choice.
The whole lead up to it, and then right after the, "There, I got a pretty good look at you."
Yeah. Amazing. I feel like I should play it now. Just to, comments on the list while I find this.
It was hilarious. I like the inclusion of the, like, 109. I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah, I know. That's, like, one of my favorite ones.
Maybe because I don't like that episode, but... Yeah.
Okay, it's not one of my favorite episodes, but it's, like, one of the best quotes.
Yeah, that's how it went, yeah.
Yeah, solid choice, yeah. Okay, I'm not finding it, so yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. You don't need to. Okay.
Add it on at the end or something.
Yeah. Derek.
All right, so my quotes are just from, like, episodes. So number five is in The Fortune Teller, "Can your science explain why it rains?" "Yes, yes it can." Number four in The Library, "You're a living relic." And then Aang says, "Thanks, I try." Number three is from The Painted Lady when Katara says, "I will never ever turn my back on people who need me." I don't know why I really like that quote, but it's just, it always sticks with me. Number two, "No, she's crazy and she needs to go down" by Iroh. And number one is Iroh talking about, the Four Nations to Zuko.
In, the...
Picture work.
Yeah.
Solid, yeah, choice there. Mm. I agree with that. Okay, I forgot which one you said that. Okay, well, first of all, I'm very surprised to see two painted lady things in top five lists.
Do you like hate that episode? I forget.
Everyone hates that episode.
I thought it was okay.
It was okay.
Some people
think
it's okay.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say hate. Most people think it's like one of the lower ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, Sam.
Oh, me. Okay. Since everybody else is putting honorable mentions in, I'm putting one in too. My honorable mention is from actor Sokka in Ember Island Players, so I love that episode so much. "Hey, Toph, would you say you and Aang have a rocky relationship?" Okay, on to the real list. Okay. Hold on for a second. There's a bunch of sirens going off. Anyway, number 5. That's Rough Buddy from The Boiling Rock Part 1. When they're talking about, like, the moon.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, my girlfriend wants the moon. That's Rough Buddy. Number 4. I am not Toph. I am Melon Lord. Mwahahaha. From, what was it, 318?
I think it was 318, yeah.
318. Uh-huh. The Phoenix King, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, number 3. This is a long one. That's a sharp outfit, Chan. Careful. You could puncture the hull of an Empire-class Fire Nation battleship, leaving thousands to drown at sea. Because it's so sharp.
That's a good one.
From Azula in The Beach. That one was great. I love Azula trying to, like, mac with the guys, you know. Macking with the guys. Number 2. I'm thinking maybe we can do an activity together. Dot, dot, dot. Which, you know, there's some time in between. At a place for some time. From Baisaka in Sacred North. No, wait. No, it was the Waterbending Masters, right?
Yeah, right? I think it was the Waterbending Masters.
It was the Waterbending Masters, okay. That one, activities and time. And number 1, Dylan and me have, like, the same mind. Baby, you're my forever girl. From Nightmares and Daydreams.
Yes, good job, Sam.
I know. Found myself in the back.
Okay, solid quotes. One thing I was surprised, I thought about putting this on my top 5. Was Sokka in the library. I want to spend my vacation in the library. Or, yeah. Surprised no one put that. That's a good one. Yeah. I've heard someone quote that in real life, too, so. You know it's a good one, then.
That's okay. What, like, nerds say.
Yeah, it's true.
I want to spend my vacation at the library.
No, but you have to say it in Sokka's voice.
That's probably what most college students say these days.
I need to do that at some point. Say that to someone, see if anyone can recognize it. Okay, fights. Let's go. Sam.
Fights?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. Let's see. Number 5, Sokka's master. The whole sequence with the swords at the end.
Okay, pause for it. I realize that you guys... the audience has not seen this list of these top 10 lists we're doing, so I should probably set it up a little better. These are the top... Now, okay, these are the top 5 fights in the show. Okay, continue, Sam.
Okay. Number 5, the fight from Sokka's Master. Okay, got it, good. Okay. Number 4, Aang and Ozai from the Season 3 finale. It spanned, like, 50 episodes. Number 3, the Agni Kai with Zuko and Azula in the Season 3 finale. Because, you know, it's pretty epic, as Dylan... was it Dylan who said it
before?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Dylan said before. Number 2... breaking into the Earth Palace in, what was it? The Earth King, 318. Uh-huh. 218. Right? Yeah. And number 1, the Season 2 finale in the caverns with the crystals. I love that episode
the
so
crystals.
Much.
Yep. We'll see what I think when we get to it. Derek.
Alright, 5, Katara versus Master Paku. Number 4, the invading of the Earth Kingdom capital. Number 3 is Katara versus Hama. I really like that one. The next one is Zuko versus Azula, of course. And number 1, the Season 2 finale fight.
Nice. Okay, Ben.
Okay, number 5 is Aang, Sokka, and Toph versus Azula and the Dai Li from Episode 311. Number 4 is the Order of the White Lotus retaking of Ba Sing Se from 320 and 321. Number 3 is Aang and Katara versus Azula and Zuko from 220. Number 2 is Zuko and Katara versus Azula from 320 and 321. And the number 1 fight is Aang versus Ozai 320 and 321.
I had a feeling that'd be your number 1 if you liked the spirit bending, yeah?
For me, it's not just the spirit bending, it's just the overall fight in general, especially when Aang gets the Pwnage Ball out.
Yeah, that's a great fight.
The thing I'm most impressed with is his compression of the elements. like into those tiny rings around his ball. Yeah.
Definitely one of many things that doesn't seem to have been explained before the season 3 finale. But let's not get that. How about no ranting for me? Okay. Okay, I had an honorable mention, which was Jed and Zuko in The City of Walls and Secrets. Amazing episode. Great fight. 5, I had Aang and Ozai. Probably should have been higher, but I have a grudge against that, so whatever. 4, I had Aang versus Zuko in Battle of the Water Tribe. Not a fight you'd instantly think of, but I seem to remember it being, I don't know, I seem to remember liking it a lot. I think it uses, like, the area, like, they go on the rooftops and stuff. I think it was pretty creative, good fight. 3, I had Zuko Zhao in 103,
the Agni Kai?
Yeah, the Agni Kai, I don't know. That's more for less the actual fighting than the end of the scene with the whole honor thing. Great, amazing scene, and there's the third episode of the series, can't believe it. 2, I had Azula and Zuko in 320, part 3 of the season finale, great. And 1, I had Azula and Zuko versus Aang Katara in the season 2 finale. So, 3 of us at that one, definitely great.
It was pretty epic.
It was amazing. Yeah. A lot of great fights. Okay, this next list is top 5 main characters. It's a pretty traditional top 5 list, let's go through this kind of quickly. Top 5 main characters. 5, I had Zuko. 4, I had Toph. 3, I had Iroh. 2, I had Aang. 1, I had Katara. No, nothing really controversial. Okay. Ben.
5, Iroh. 4, Zuko. 3, Toph. 2, Katara. 1, Aang.
Derek.
Sokka, then Iroh, then Zuko, Toph, and Aang. Number 1.
Sam.
5, Iroh, 4, Aang, 3, Katara, 2, Sokka, and 1, Toph.
Okay. Did none of us have Zuko 1? Yeah, I think no. We're probably not a representative population of the Avatar fandom. A lot of people would have Zuko 1.
Well, I figured since I already put him on my villains list, I didn't really feel like putting him on my main characters list.
Oh, okay, I see how
it is. I honorable mention Zuko. Him and Iroh tied. On my list, okay. Got it, good. Let's go.
Okay. Okay, next is top 5 Avatar crew members. This was probably the weirdest for most people.
Yeah.
I didn't really, yeah.
But, yeah, well, let's see what you guys come up with. Okay, start with Sam.
Well, it says, a little side note on the list, don't include Mike and Brian as one person.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't.
So, okay, yeah, that's true. I think everyone would have included them as Bryke unless I said that.
Okay.
So I just want to make it interesting. But when I say crew members, people that worked on Avatar.
Yes.
Okay, go.
So, number 5, Brian. Number 4, Mike. Number 3, Giancarlo Volpe. Number 2, D. Bradley Baker. And number 1, this probably won't count because it's 2 people, the track team.
That definitely doesn't.
Okay, they tied. Benjamin Wynn and
Okay, that's pretty interesting Jeremy? List. I thought everyone would have Mike and Brian 1 and 2. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, I feel a connection with Giancarlo because he has a DeviantArt.
He does have DeviantArt.
I watch it.
Yeah.
So I feel connected.
Okay, Derek.
Okay, to be honest, I didn't really make a list because before I never really paid attention to, I guess, production, but like. As much as I, like, because I do now, but, like, I didn't want to go through, like, everything to see what I liked and what I didn't like, so, yeah, sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine, yeah. Most people probably wouldn't think to make a list of this. Okay, Ben, then.
Okay, number 5, Giancarlo Volpe. Number 4, Joaquin Dos Santos. Number 3, Aaron Ehas. Number 2, Brian Konietzko. And number 1, Michael Dante DiMartino. And Brian's at number 2 just because I know how much you hate him, Dylan.
I don't hate Brian. That's a misconception. I just...
You severely dislike him because
I don't severely dislike him. He's amazing. He's so talented.
I think Mike is more inviting.
Brian's a little pompous. He comes that way across the
interviews. Okay, let me try it again. You have a beef with him.
I have a beef with Brian, that's true.
You think he did the whole Zutara and messed up the...
This is true. I think he specifically was the one to make it so Aang and Katara didn't get together until the final scene.
And I wouldn't argue with that, but I would say we can know that for sure.
Yeah,
because
it's true.
It could have been Mike. It could have been both of them.
Speaking of Giancarlo Volpe's DeviantArt account, he posted the storyboards to Cat and Kiss in 310, which was the part one Day of Black's son. And he said that it was changed to have Katara's reaction be more ambiguous. And I'm like 80% sure that was Brian. Okay, anyway.
Ambiguity makes it more interesting.
I guess, yeah. It was a foregone conclusion anyway. Oh, I didn't think I'd be ranting about this today. Okay, for my top five, I wanted to include people that were there the entire show. Because, I don't know. So, the only director who that was Giancarlo Volpe, so he's my number five. Four was Tim Hedrick. He wrote some of the most amazing episodes of the show, City Walls and Secrets. The Deserter, he wrote The Swamp, he wrote Lake Laogai. Aside from Aaron Ehas, he's the best writer on the show. Three, I had Brian, because of that beef with him. Two, I had Aaron Ehas, who, if you don't know Aaron's name, you need to, because he's a co-executive producer along with Mike and Brian from season two and season three. Season one, he was like a co-producer, I think it said. He's the head writer of the show. He wrote the season. He wrote 120, the season one finale. He wrote 220, the season two finale. They didn't let him write the season three finale, which, not a good call, but he wrote Day of Black Sun part two. He wrote the most important episodes of the show, and he's amazing. And we have no indication that he's going to be back for Korra, which would be a mistake.
He's a big name in the cartoon biz, basically.
He's currently back on the writing staff for Futurama.
Yeah, I do know he did a Futurama. Yeah, but yeah, mistake if Mike and Brian don't invite him back. Even if it's just for like the second, I know they're already done with the first 12, so it's get him back for the second 12 or second 14.
Oh, by the way, I did find out, I don't know if you mentioned this, but Joaquin Dos Santos has been named co-executive producer for Avatar The Legend of Korra.
Yeah, they seem to like him a lot. I mean, he did an amazing job with the season 3 finale. It's just, he's not going to replace Aaron on the writing staff. Okay, and my one was Mike, because he's one of the... So I value story more in, as you guys probably know. So, like, I would be more likely to include the writing half of the creators than the art half, even though Mike does art too, and Brian also does writing. I mean, like, Mike wrote The Waterbending Master and The Blind Bandit, two incredible episodes, so he gets huge credit for that. And I think he's the one that kind of designated where the show's going, pretty much. Okay, back to a traditional list. So this is not a top five list. Top three seasons of the show. This will go by pretty quick. Okay, yeah. You guys probably predict my list. Three, I have season three. Two, I have season one. One, I have season two. Yeah, season three. I think I unfairly criticize season three because of what it doesn't do more than what it does do. Maybe I think I place a lot of blame on it for not tying up story ends when... Is it that season's fault? Should it have extra pressure? I don't know. It's definitely the best production season. I think the writing and story direction, not like directing, like where the story goes is way lacking, as evidenced by my rants on the second half of season three. And even the first half of season three, it's just, why are they inviting the Fire Nation when, why are they not invading? Why are they going around the Fire Nation different cities from a story perspective when the war is almost won by the Fire Nation? If it's going to have to resolve itself by the end of the season, it's going to look like a butt pull if they don't like have a change of tide, and they don't do that. So that's what happened. That's, I think, the whole season almost is to blame for the lack of explanation this season. But anyway, rant. Season 2, the Ba Sing Se plotline is amazing, and the first half of the season also has amazing episodes. Great, amazing season. Season 1 has some down episodes, but it also has the 3-episode arc at the North Pole, which is amazing. Okay. Ben.
I did this list based on a point system I came up with from my top-ranked episodes list. I basically assigned points based on which category episodes fell in, and then added up the points to come up with the final score, which is why number 3 is Season 1. Number 2 is season 2, and number 1 is season 3.
Yeah, I remember. Is this the point system that we all did at the time?
Well, we all put them in tiers, like, you know, terrible, poor, average. And I assigned each tier a point value. And so Season 3 does have some pretty bad episodes, but it has the most episodes in my highest tiers, which is why it got up to number 1. Mm-hmm. And you can understand how it goes going on down. Season 2 had a lot of amazing episodes as well, but that one also had a lot of average episodes, which is why it didn't quite get up to number 1.
Yeah. But full disclosure, I think I did this point system too. Maybe the same as yours, I'm not sure. And season 3 ended up being number 1 for me based on the point system. So maybe the individual I think the individual episodes in season 3 are probably the strongest, yeah. Okay, Derek.
All right, 3 book 1, 2 book 3, and 1 book 2.
Okay. Any reason why book 2 favorite?
The whole bossy thing, and then I really liked I guess because Earth is like my favorite element, so that also brings it up more.
Okay, Sam.
Mine is number 3, season 1. Number 2. Wait, yeah, number 2, season 3. Number 1, season 2. Season 2, because the bossing say thing. And Toph, she gets introduced. And I don't know, I like Earth, too. I'm basically, saying everything Derek said. But I don't know, I like the artwork a lot. Like, the Bossing Say especially. I love the artwork in Bossing and Sing Say. Like, the backgrounds. And I don't know, I feel like the artwork in this season particularly is the strongest. And as is the writing.
I think you're turning into Martin with the backgrounds.
I'm an artist. I can't help it.
Are we going to talk about the green crystals next?
Yes, crystals. Green crystals.
Wait, does he hate or love those? I think he hates the crystals.
But my theory is that they're rock candy. So how can you hate rock candy?
It's true. I know people that hate rock candy, actually, even though it's just pure sugar. That is way off topic. Wow.
just a little bit.
Okay, so the next top list is, I know we're going kind of fast, but... Yeah, whatever. This one's going to go a little slower. We have top 5 romantic moments in the show. So this will be interesting. This, I think, kind of will show ship alignment. But then again, it's not like you could have... Well, I guess Zutarians would have the minor Zuko and Katara, but then I'd question whether those are romantic moments, obviously. who went last? It was Sam. Okay.
It was me.
Sam, start
okay.
off.
Okay, number 5. Toph kissing Suki on the cheek, thinking it was Sokka.
So you're counting that as like a top Sokka.
I'm counting that as Taka. I don't care. Okay. So I don't feel like looking at all the blushes and whatnot, and I don't count the scene in the runaway as romantic. All right, number 4, Azula and Chan kissing, because Azula macking with the guys.
Didn't expect that to be on any of our lists. Yep. That's a good one.
Well, I'm a funny person. That's why. Number 3. Sokka and Yue in, 120, when she's, turned to the moon spirit, and she's like, bye, Sokka. I don't know, I really like that.
I could tell by your sarcastic voice that you liked it a lot.
I did like it a lot, actually.
No, that's a great scene, I agree.
Number 2, Aang and Katara in Ember Island Players when they're on the balcony.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, that one, that was almost on one of my favorite scenes, but I was like, I have to choose.
I hate that scene.
I love it.
Oh, I got it.
It's just like, oh,
I need to rewatch Ember Island Players. And...
I remember watching the preview for the episode the day before it aired, and I'm like, oh my god, what's gonna happen?
I think I unduly criticized that scene because of the whole lack of Katang for like 5 episodes behind it.
Katangst. I love it. I love Katangst. And number 1. The Day of Black Sun kiss.
Ooh.
I don't know. I it's just like a shut up kiss. Like, ugh.
That was a great kiss, but no season 3 finale?
No, because you have to remember, I'm on Katang forever. That gif was in everybody's sig for 3 months. I'm sick of it. I mean, it's great and all. I was like, end game, yeah. But, this one, I don't know. I just liked it more. There's more emotion, more feelings. Not to say that one wasn't emotional, but more conflicting emotions. Like, what if I don't come back? What's going to happen?
No, I agree. Amazing scene. Would have been enhanced if someone didn't change the reason.
Somewhat bright.
I don't even know for sure, but I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Yeah. So good list, Derek.
All right. Number five is Sokka finding Suki at the Boiling Rock. Number four is the Aang Katara kiss at the end. Number three is all of the attempts Sokka made to get Yue's attention. Number two, I picked Mei fighting off the prison guards for Zuko. And number one, I don't know if it's really a romantic scene, but it definitely led to catting the moment where she realizes that Aang is a powerful bender in the fortune teller.
That's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think you cheated with your number three. Yeah, that's multiple seeds. But no, I agree. It's wonderfully awkward by Sokka. I love it. Okay, Ben.
Okay, I am cheating again because I do have an honorable mention. My honorable mention is from the blind. The Runaway. When Sokka and Toph are talking, and down below is Katara taking a bath. Don't you know it's clearly Katoff?
I was thinking, like, what are you doing?
Katoff. I don't know if we obviously need to get into that too much.
Like, Paul probably knew she was there, too.
Yeah, totally knew it.
Yes, big joke. Okay, number five is the Zuko and Mei kiss from episode 321. Number four is the Aang and Katara kiss from 310. Number three is the Aang and Katara possible kiss from 202. And number two is the Aang and Katara hug at the end of episode 220 after she revives him with the spirit water. And number one is the Aang and Katara kiss from 321.
Nice. Good list, yeah. I didn't even think of the season two finale as one as romantic, but yeah, that's a great scene, obviously. Mm-hmm. Said that like three times. Okay, nice list. Here's the other list I have from Teresa, which is the romantic moments. She has the Taka reunion in Sokka's Master.
Ooh, high five.
As her five. She's very Taka. Four, she has the Day of Black Sun Cat and Kiss. Three, she has the Mako reunion in 321. Two, she has Mei looking back at Zuko in the Gonzo and Boiling Rock Part 2.
That's a good one.
So a kind of extension of Derek having that. And one, she has the Katang kiss in the Season 3 finale. Also, she says she pronounces Katang like me. So, yes.
Oh. Oh, you finally which brings found the, somebody else.
It's the grand total of number of people who use that is two.
To be fair, I think she's like only recently gotten to fandom. She probably first heard it through the podcast, so those tend to be the only people that say it, like me. So, my list. I have two honorable mentions, so I cheated doubly. I have Zuko and Mei in 321 as one of my honorable mentions, and I have Aang in City of Walls and Secrets, Aang saying, "You're beautiful," to Katara. I love that scene.
It's more like, "Wow, you look beautiful," yeah. Not "You're beautiful."
But well, okay.
Same difference.
I don't know, that episode. We'll see if that ranks where that ranks if we do another episode ranking, which we'll talk about. Five, I have Zuko and Mei in the in 202 when Zuko, they're talking about orange being an awful color. That scene is, do you guys remember that? Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Hilariously
amazing.
You said 202. I think you meant 302.
302, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, headband. Okay. That's just, I don't know. That's like my favorite Mako scene, always been, has been. And then I'm kind of surprised I included a nod in Kat Aang in my top five, but then now it's not. Four, I had Aang Katara in Cave of Two Lovers, the maybe kiss. And by the way, if you're looking for an explanation on whether they kissed or not, we had this post that me and Jeff made 3 years ago, and it's called A Study, Ding Aang Katara Kiss in Cave of Two Lovers. That's been getting some traction on Tumblr. I love that. That had like 200 notes. It's great.
Did they at least like give you the source?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice.
It's great. I love that it's finding an audience 3 years later. But yeah, we mathematically look at whether they kiss or not. Three, I have Aang Katara in the headband, their dance.
The Katango.
Amazing.
That would probably be my real honorable mention instead of the Katoff.
The Katoff. Okay. two, I have the Angkatar Kiss Day of Black Sun Part 1, and one I have the Angkatar Kiss at the end of the show.
I'm the only one who didn't put that on my list.
Yeah.
Shows what a container I am.
No, I understand you being sick of it. I've seen the GIFs on Getting Forever too.
And again, I'm the only one who put the Ember Island Players on there, so.
That was an interesting choice, gotta say.
Makes me too.
So yeah. So disclosure: none of us are Zootarians, so that's why you didn't see any. That's not by design. That's just what happened. So you didn't see any Zootara stuff on the list.
Was that first a Zootarian? But then
Okay, that's good. No, seriously, it's okay. But
I like the hug that they had in Southern Raiders.
Don't say that.
as friendship.
So. Friendship hub, yeah. No, I did like what they did with Zuko and Katara friendship wise, gotta say. Even though they sacrificed the Katang for it, which they could have done both. I don't see why they had to do one. Friendship, Zutara and the Katang.
They might make up for it in Korra.
We need the flashbacks. I will go crazy if we don't see any Katang flashbacks.
There's only one I want, and it's the wedding.
The wedding. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would want that, yeah. You don't know how many Katang wedding fanfics I've read. Does it happen in the Southern Water Tribe? I think that's the most frequent one I've seen. Crazy. Okay. Yeah, but other than that, I think we had a pretty diverse number of ships on here, actually, including the Katoff on there. I didn't expect that.
I couldn't help it. It's such a funny moment. In general, if you think of the circumstances,
yes, it is.
It's just like, oh yeah, there we are, hidden Katoff.
I would include everyone's favorite ship, Katuki Lee, but I don't think there are any actual Katuki Lee moments in the show. Just Katara, Suki, and Ty Lee.
Oh,
that's Jake's favorite ship. Okay, anyway, that's an old thing. Locations. This is an interesting one to end on.
Is this the last one?
This is our last one.
This is the last list.
Yes, last list, yes. Top five locations in the show. I think you can go in a lot of directions with this. Did I end?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll start off. Five, I have the Fortune Teller Village. I think these have actual names, the villages, but only on Nick.com, so I don't consider those like real names. But So it has an actual name, but I call it the Fortune Teller Village. And I don't know, the residents are hilariously unaware. It's great. Four, I have Omashu. Mostly for the mail delivery system. We don't get to see enough of Omashu, gotta say.
Well, it was in one of the video games, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played those.
I played those, too, actually. I barely remember them, though. Not very good.
Yeah, they kind of sucked.
Three, I have the Avatar Day Village. Because hilariously a bad place, and they make fun of it.
Wasn't it a, like, Chin or something like that? Named after Chin the Great?
Yeah. I love Avatar Day. Such an underrated episode.
The most horrible game of Wheel of Fortune you could ever play.
Yes. And the prison is amazing. Even their prisoners are sensitive to Aang's romantic needs. Oh my god, great episode. Two, I have Ba Sing Se. Love Ba Sing Se. Even though Toph thinks it's the worst city. One, I have North Pole. Which is interesting. It's just so... We don't get to see enough of it either. They don't spend enough time there, but it's so beautifully designed. And it's just... I love the oasis in the middle. Great city. Okay. Ben.
Okay, number five is the Northern Water Tribe. Number four is the Western Air Temple. And I picked that one above all the others because I love the architecture compared to the others. Number three is Ember Island. Who wouldn't want a nice beach vacation every once in a while?
Go play.
Yes. Number two is Omashu, because I definitely would want to take a ride on that mail system. And also, it's a very interesting city architecturally, if you think about it, just because of the tiers kind of leading up. It's very... It's very... Yes, it's... Unlike anything else in the Avatar world. And number one is Ba Sing Se.
Okay, Derek?
Okay, my number five is the Ruins of the Sun Warriors. Number four, Ba Sing Se. Number three, the Northern Water Tribe. Number two, the Western Air Temple. And number one, the Fire Nation Capital. Mm. Within the volcano.
Okay, I did not think of the ruins in 313. That's a good inclusion. Why the Fire Nation Capital?
You know what really made me like it is that scene right before Aang is like before he flies into it. It looks so beautiful. I really like it. But in in the evasion where he
Nice. Sam.
Alrighty then. Number five, Zhong Zhong's camp. Number four, the desert. Number three, Whale Tail Island, because I like the name. You know, we'd like never seen it except for like in the games maybe once. Number two, the Southern Water Tribe. I like Barren Wastelands a lot. As you can tell. Number one, the Crystal Caverns under Ba Sing Se.
That's the one.
Martin is screaming.
I just love those crystals, man.
I agree.
It's such an interesting design. Place.
I like your inclusion of Whale Tail Island, despite it not being a place. Could you?
Well, it is, though. it's shaped like a whale tail.
They need to visit it in Korra.
It's not just that. Kangaroo Island.
Kangaroo Island, too. Come on.
I hear that place is very hopping this time of year.
I was juggling between those two, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you specifically included a place that they never visit just for the sake of it.
I did, actually.
Good job trolling the top five list. Okay. Oh, well, that's it. That's all our lists. Oh, that was fun.
It was. Very fun.
Yeah. You can send us your lists. Probably not gonna have another podcast for out, but once we do, I'll respond. We'll talk about them some more, I guess. Obligatory promotional messaging, but we'll talk about it after I say the text. For you, the listeners of the From the Spirit World podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I personally recommend Divergent by Veronica Roth. That's a young adult dystopian novel, kind of similar to the last one I recommended. Kind of fits the audience. I'd probably 13 and up, maybe like 14 up. I don't know. Pretty good book. Gonna get turned into a movie. Hunger Games-ish. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/FTSW. Again, that's audibletrial.com/FTSW for your free audiobook. And now that I said the text, we can actually talk about it. Have any of you guys read that?
No.
Okay, well, it's good.
Well, I'm a huge fan of The Hunger Games, so I might have to take a look at it.
There's only one book out in the series so far. The next one's coming out like this. It just came out in, like, May or something, so... Well, yet to be... I could see it becoming... It's a little bit more Twilight-y than The Hunger Games.
Ooh.
Which means it just has a romance, I guess.
But then again...
It's like a dark guy, but she does it really well, I gotta say. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, really quick, I wanted to say something. In case people wonder, my screen name, Son of Twilight, I came up with that in 2003, way before the book. So, do not make assumptions that I like the book series based on that.
There's a lot of things named Twilight, though.
It's a time of day, so, you know.
Yeah, that whole time of day thing.
It came from a story I wrote, so, you know, just thought I'd go and say that, because I've had a bunch of people ask before.
You've had to defend it yourself, yeah. Okay, I guess that covers the recommendation thing. I think that's not a bad, like, plug either, because it combines with our recommendation segment we used to have. Anyway, yeah, I think I recommended Hunger Games a while ago. Read those, they're very good. Also kind of 14 and up-ish.
And if you haven't seen the movie trailer for that, go ahead and watch it online, because it's pretty good.
It's a really good trailer, yeah. Looking forward to that so much.
Yeah, let's just hope they do this one right, unlike a certain other movie.
About a TV show that we're talking about on this podcast?
Something like that.
Okay. I kind of want to revisit the movie. I haven't had the guts to watch it again. I have the Blu-ray, though, sitting there, ready for me to watch.
I don't have the legal means.
Yeah.
So.
I need to rewatch it, though.
I don't know. I don't think I want to waste my money again.
It does have good extras. I watched all the extras. They're kind of cool.
I would like to revisit it because I've been like thinking about that movie for so long, like how I really think about it, and it's just, I don't know, very complicated.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't say it's like the best movie I've ever seen, but I think there's parts of it that I think a lot of people could like.
I think it has its moments too, but not very many.
Would you consider it so bad it's good?
Oh, well, that was very close to that, because I was admittedly laughing during the second half of the movie in the theaters. And I saw it at midnight, too, so somehow, between the disappointment of it sucking in the first half, I got over it and started laughing at it for the second half. I don't know how, though. It helped that I saw my friends there.
I saw it twice. The second time was for me and my friend to laugh.
Well, at least we can say the music was good.
The music was good. It was a very good soundtrack.
The music was decent. The effects were not.
Yeah. I love the they had that in the Ember Island Players. Did they know when they were making Ember Island Players that that would apply to the movie? I don't know. I wonder, because it was around the same time. Okay, anyway. Let's wrap things up.
Alrighty then.
That's a cue for me to put something so I can edit this easier. I like how I recognize that cue. Okay. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Sam, Derek, and Ben. Technical director, AJ Kevin. Music arrangements is by Luke Tripp. Tom Bufeng is owned by Jake. I edit. Okay. I like how I've kept those credits almost constant since the first episode of this podcast. Great. Okay. Next podcast, I want to do a third episode ranking podcast. Some of you probably don't want to hear that because we've had two of those before, but I would change stuff. I know it. I've already begun working on it.
It's been so long since I watched the series.
It's been a while, yeah. I got my cousins, and I watched the first two episodes with them, and I think they're going to continue now. It's great. And yeah, the first two episodes. Hadn't watched those in a while, and I watched the season one finale yesterday. It was so amazing.
I think it's about the right time for us to explore the series again and see if any opinions have changed.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a start to it. It's hard to find topics, though.
Well, and I think as we get closer to Korra, it's going to be kind of... it's almost prudent to look back and then as we're about to go forward.
I agree. So, I don't know when we'll have the episode rankings, but I do want to have that. And so there's a possibility we have another one in January, but most likely the next podcast will be in May. That's a long time away.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, if we had stuff to talk about, like if suddenly they said Korra's airing in April, then I'd probably work something out to have it back sooner.
Or
but
if by some miracle they announce that it's airing after the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah, doesn't look
what
likely
if,
though.
Well, we could do one on The Promise. It comes out in February.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see if I. Let's say yeah, beginning. Yeah, does Amazon still have it as a February release date?
I checked yesterday and it did.
Yeah, it's annoying because Dark Horse says it's the end of January.
Whatever. And that. I think another interesting podcast, like, what do we want to see in Korra? I think would be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a little a couple of podcasts ago, but yeah, I agree. Once we start to know more about the story, then we could, like, say what we want to see.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be putting up a review of The Promise on Dong Wufeng, so you can check for that then, at the very least. Maybe we'll have a podcast, we'll see. But so, probably, that's it for a while. Send stuff, dylan@dongwufeng.net. We still get a lot of hits for the podcast, so thanks for listening, guys. I feel like there's something else I want to say. Probably not, though.
Go read The Hunger Games.
this is an Avatar podcast, though. I'm not gonna... It is Hunger Games is really good.
If there were similarities, I wouldn't mention it, but they're quite different things, so...
They're very different, actually, yeah. It is the same age, kind of. Well, this Avatar's age range is very ambiguous.
Very much so.
You see that as first episode. I don't need to get into this. First episode, there's the I gotta pee jokes, the little kid. And then we get into things like the season 3 finale. It's such a large.
Things like genocide.
Things like stuff like that. Even two episodes after genocide, yeah.
Murder.
At least we forget a certain scene in 316 involving Sokka.
I know, I still can't believe they got that by the radar.
Wing.
Getting stuffed by the radar. Yeah. Crazy. Okay, I already did the stuff. Okay, we're going to end on top five because I don't want a large discussion about what we're going to end on again. So we're just going to end on top five. Okay, guys?
All right.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye. 1, 2, 3. Top five.
Top five.
Woo.